Testament reading comes from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel 37, and this is where I know I have a lot of favorite passages of Scripture, but this is really an important one to me, and I see a powerful word from God in this morning. The people of Israel were in bondage. They were feeling really down and low. And God breathes this picture to them. It doesn't start out well, but by the time it's over, you could kind of say the whole house is rocking. Okay? Let's listen to this. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round and about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come on the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now as Karen comes, she's going to read a passage from the New Testament, from the Gospel, which really is, in effect, a fulfillment of this.
This is John 11, verses 32 through 44. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray together. Lord, we live in a land where there's a lot of bad news. And into the midst of that bad news, you have sown good news. We are a good news people because of your work, because of your presence in our lives. And so we ask, Lord, that that good news might become richer and fuller here as we spend this time in your word. May the Holy Spirit bring life to us and life through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are probably times in your life, not probably, I know that there have been times in your life, as there have been in mine, when I feel like the bones within me are all dried up. And you feel like, man, if this is life, I don't want to do it. We get to that place from time to time, because all hope seems to slither out the door. And what we have in our homes and sometimes in our hearts is a lot of despair. Murambi, Rwanda, is a place that I will never forget. It's the site of a church, or I should say a church-sponsored technical school. High on a hill in Rwanda, overlooking beautiful valleys all around. The school was never finished, and it has a lot to teach us. For it was in this school that during the uprising and the genocide that happened in Rwanda in 1994, that many people fled, and they were invited to come there. Come, find shelter here. And then when those who were killing showed up at the school, those who were in a position of influence and could have turned them away told them exactly where the people were. And they went with machetes and guns and killed many, many people. I visited there in 2001, a very sobering experience as we went into the dorm rooms, and there on racks were the bones of people who had been slain during the genocide. You might say, why didn't they just bury them? But they wanted people to see, and they wanted to remember that this is how inhuman we can become. And then there's another question that I see in chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Because as I see the bones scattered all around the dorm rooms, it reminded me of this passage of Scripture. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? In other words, can Rwanda ever be a better place again after such atrocity? What do you think? What's the answer? Yes or no? Yes. And how can it be a better place again? Well, that's the subject of Ezekiel 37. Because Israel also felt massacred. The Babylonians had come and they killed women and children and men. And they took off to Babylon the ones that they judged to be worthwhile for their own purposes. Among them was a prophet who was also a priest. And his name is Ezekiel. His writings, as you read the book of Ezekiel, reflect judgments against Israel for their wrongdoings, for not having a good heart towards God, and having malevolent hearts towards the people around them. Ezekiel also speaks to the nations that surround Israel because they haven't been so good either. Yes, he's had a close-up view of all of what's going on. And it looks as though he hates these people because of what's happening. That's not true. God loves all people and calls them to repentance, to be redeemed, to find hope. And then Ezekiel records visions of restoration. That's the hope. And the building of a new temple in a new Israel. And the Valley of Dry Bones is a vision from this restoration section of the prophet. For a priest to be in such a place where there are dry bones all around was a perilous thing, because dead bodies, bones, defile a Jew. And Ezekiel is now surrounded by human remains. And this repulsive collection of bones represents the defeated, scattered Israelites all over the place. And then he hears Yahweh. He hears God. He hears Jehovah as he says, I want you to talk to these bones. Because God is very hopeful that the people of Israel can be restored. Maybe you have felt that forlorn feeling, that abandoned feeling, like everything's dried up in me at times. And you too long for a word of restoration. Here it is. You might feel like you're in a perilous place, needy to hear a word of restoring hope. Here it is. Now, keep in mind, the restorative hope that Ezekiel is talking about is not just for you. It's corporate. It's for everyone. Everyone who is willing to become part of this grand assembly. The rising of Lazarus is a sign. And Jesus has the crowd in mind. Remember, I don't know if you remember the passage as Karen just read it. But there's a point there where Jesus says, I'm praying to you, Father, but I'm praying so that the people around can see your glory. I'm not going to do this just for Lazarus. I'm going to do this for all the people that are standing here so that they might see how much power is available to them. Same thing with this situation in Ezekiel. God always wants us to keep in mind the greater good. It's not just about me. It's about the world around me. I'm not here for me. I'm here for everyone else. Jesus certainly had that attitude. The attitude needs to be more of, we're all in this together. Jew and Babylonian, Hutu and Tutsi, American and Rwandan, native and naturalized citizen, women and men, Methodist and Baptist and Catholics, all in this, and Muslims, all in this together. The restorative hope that God has, yes, it's for you, but it's not just for you. It's for a world that needs restoration. So this is a big picture that's painted here. It's not just one set of bones rising. It's a nation rising. Now, we also need to keep in mind that it's not always as instantaneous as we would like it to be. We think of the situation. I think of the situation, Karen, with Aiden, and I think, we would like it to be, boom, done, taken care of. He would be completely restored. But it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that in any of our lives, usually. I mean, on rare occasion it does. But usually it's incremental. So hope often returns to us incrementally because we're in a process here. The bones in the story in Ezekiel 37 come together. That's good. Making progress. And then they were enfleshed, the sinews, and then the flesh came around them, but there was still no breath. And then God speaks to Ezekiel again. And he says, all right, everything is pretty good here. He says, now I want you to, in verse 9, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain. And they came to life. He prophesied and said, I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. They came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Who did God tell Ezekiel to speak to? Speak to the breath. Now that's an interesting word, because the word breath is the word ruach. It's the word for spirit. The spirit that's hovering over the surface of the deep as creation is coming about. The ruach of God, that's the Hebrew word. He says, speak to that spirit. Call to this spirit from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may come to life. There are disappointments along the way. Why aren't these bodies alive? Because there's still work to do. And God is at work. But be patient with God, because God's patient with us, and we have some work to do too. We don't need to be in a hurry necessarily. And most of us aren't. Hope for life grows in God's time. And so we speak. And the power to restore comes not simply from this flesh, but from the Spirit of God. Again, speak to the wind. We think of Michelle. We've been praying for her for a long time. Speak to the Spirit to come from the four winds. And we're concerned about Michelle. But not just Michelle, because she's not the only one dealing with this problem. There are a lot of people dealing with that problem of pain and disappointment. Speak to the wind. If we take our cues from Ezekiel, what we need to learn how to do is to prophesy to the Spirit. We need to learn how to call forth the Spirit. And notice what it says. Prophesy, come from the four winds, O breath. Come from all over the earth, O breath, and bring hope to this people. God gives us a call here to speak to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just resident in one person. It's resident in the church, wherever the church is, all over the world. And he wants the church all over the world to become involved in the work of healing and restoration. God is constantly doing a work of restoration. And God is preparing this church, I believe, for some pretty heavy-duty work. God's used this church already, but God's always preparing us to do more. But we're not going to do a thing if it's all about our own strength. We can't do it in our own strength. We need to prophesy to the Spirit. In other words, we need to pray and ask for more of God's presence here in our midst. I see this happening as we begin to spend more time in prayer together. This is a passage all about learning how to pray and call the Spirit to bear witness with us of the power and the glory of God to restore and make new. We need to learn how to be less afraid of corporate prayer. Now, you've noticed in the bulletin, and I've mentioned, that on Sunday mornings at 9:15, Joan Hofmeister comes. She opens the building and starts to get it ready. I join her just a few minutes after she gets here, generally, to pray for what's going to happen in this sanctuary and throughout this building on any given Sunday morning. The call is not simply to Joan and to me. The call is to everyone. And I don't want you to hear this as scolding. But we're missing an opportunity here. You know, it just means getting here a little earlier in some cases and joining us. Right now, Joan and I circulate all around the sanctuary. Sat on the piano bench and prayed for Paula. We sat on the steps and prayed for the children. We stood at the communion table and prayed that this time of communion would be just filled with God's glorious presence. Can you imagine you becoming part of that? Just coming early to prepare this sanctuary. And as we do, it's really a preparation of our own hearts. I see the deacons, and not just the deacons, but I see all the people leading more in prayer. You know, there are some people that have said to me, I can't pray out loud. And in a word, that's hogwash. You can talk. If you can talk, you can pray. We're just afraid. And we need to get the fear, let it aside, and just make ourselves available and speak to the wind, Lord, bring your Spirit into me. Cast out this fear that I might be more available to you. Interestingly enough, a class began today in the Koinonia class on prayer. So if you're wondering, how can I do better at this? Come at 9:45 on Sunday mornings and pack that room out. Come at 9:15 for prayer and 9:45 to learn more about prayer. And let's do it. I see us soliciting the prayer of other people, asking other people to pray for us, reaching out to other congregations and say, will you pray for us that God's presence might be more powerfully among us? We need other people. Seaview doesn't sit here all by itself. There are believers all over the place here. And we can ask them to pray, and we can pray for them. And when we're praying for one another in this way, the bones start to rattle. And the flesh starts to come on them. And then the breath comes in. And we become really, really alive. Why do we live? Why are these bones coming together? Why do we live? We live to bless the world. That's our purpose, right? All of us together, blessing people with God's love. That's why we live. If we're not blessing people, well, why do we need to live? Because we don't live for ourselves, we live for others. We live to bless the world, which is why we pray and why we get involved and we ask, Lord, give me strength. Let me tell you, yesterday afternoon, and I know that I wasn't the only one, Paul and Andy and I left this building somewhere around 5:30. Our bones were feeling pretty disconnected and they were aching from all the work. We needed revival. And even this morning when I dragged myself out of bed, I thought, oh, how can I do this? You know, I feel pretty alive right now. I feel alive because I believe it's God at work in me. And He called me to this place to bless you. To bless you with hope in the situation where you find yourself. Don't give up. That's why we live, to bless the world. In a little Rwandan village, a boy was born in January of 1980, and his father named him Janvier, January. A few summers ago, he worshiped with us here. He was one of my translators while I was on that mission trip in Rwanda. The followers of Jesus Christ in this tribally torn nation prayed and they asked God to send the breath of life into their slain, those whose bones were on racks. And the question is, can these bones live? Well, Janvier committed himself. I'll never forget, we were on our way to the preaching point where I was going to be delivering a message. And I met Janvier for the first time, and he came and sat right next to me. And he said, what are your hopes? What are your aspirations? He says, I want to be a pastor. And I put my arm around him. And I said, and I hope that desire that's in your heart will come to pass. I didn't know that I was going to be used to help him do that. And it wasn't just me alone. It was a whole body of believers at First Baptist Church in Pittman that said, we will pay for his education. And we did. Now, he has a PhD. And he continues to work in Rwanda. And he works at a seminary in South Africa. I mean, if you had seen Janvier when he came up alongside me, you could see he was a broken kid from all the trouble. When you see Janvier today, the Ruach of God has filled him. And through him, that Ruach continues to filter throughout Rwanda and throughout Africa. These bones can live. The people need revival, and that means us. And when revival comes, it will not be so that we can just say, now we feel good. The revival will come as we give ourselves to blessing the world. And so, I charge you, even as I look into the mirror and hear this charge myself, let us prophesy to the Spirit. Let us speak boldly to God's Spirit and say, come and fill these slain. Fill us. Let us prophesy that we might bless the world. Let's not be afraid to pray together. That's where the real power comes from. And so, let us pray. Lord, in this holy place, we have gathered in your name, and we've heard this message. Lord, may this message be applied not simply to our heads, but to our hearts. Let it filter in and take a strong hold of our core, that we might be a people who pray and call upon your Spirit to bring blessing through us. Cast out our fear, Lord, and renew us with confidence in what you're doing through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.